Jace.
I'm Jaden.
I'm Manny.
And in this episode, we're going to be talking about the comics that have come out today as we release this. That would be DC Rebirth Week 3. So Titans Rebirth, number one, I guess you'd say. And then the actual number one. So it's kind of weird because it's like, if you look at the books when they come out, so it'll be in big letters, Titans on the top, and then bigger letters below that, Rebirth, and it'll be number one. But then we already know Batman Rebirth number one has come out, Green Arrow Rebirth number one has come out, Green Lantern's Rebirth number one has come out, and Superman Rebirth number one has come out. But now the series of those are coming out with their number ones. And so the only difference you see, it's kind of confusing. So it'll be Rebirth on the top. That's kind of like the trade dress. And underneath will be the name of the book. So like if you look at the Superman Rebirth title, or, you know, the actual book, it says Superman and the Rebirth trade dress is below that. That's the one that we already read. The one that comes out tomorrow has the Rebirth word on top and Superman below that. But the logos are the same, so it's confusing. But these are the number one issues of the new ongoing series, whereas the Rebirth issues were just the one-shots. So I know it's confusing, but it won't be confusing in the next couple weeks when the twos and threes and such start coming out. So before we get into that, though, coming up in San Diego in 5 weeks is going to be Comic-Con. Jade and I will be there. Manny, one of these days, will go to San Diego Comic-Con, I'm hoping.
Eventually. Yeah, next year, I think I'll do it for sure.
Yeah, you keep saying that, but hey, what about this idea? What about if you just drive down for the Valiant poker game? Would that, I mean, I know you love Valiant. Chance to hang out with Dinesh and all those guys, play poker, eat some of my food.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Be a great time, man. You could drive down one day, go to the poker game, check out some of the festivities outside the next morning, and then drive back.
That sounds like a pretty good idea. I mean, even I've been doing a lot of work with Blue Shell Gaming. They asked me to go to the retailers meeting that is at Comic-Con. So that's actually very tempting. I'll check my schedule and see what I can do.
Wait, they have a retailers meeting there, so you'd be able to get in even though you don't have a badge?
I'm not sure, but because they're Blue Shell is also doing women's comics, they're retailers, so they asked me if I wanted to go on behalf of them if I was gonna head out there.
Wow, I'm saying, man, you know, we got a house this time. I don't know if I told you that we got a house on Airbnb, so. There's plenty of room, you know. I mean, I'm not sure when the poker game is yet. Let's say it was on Friday night, you know. You'd have to take Friday off of work, but you drove down Friday. You know, you'd have a place to crash. You could stay a couple days. I mean, if they give you a badge to go to the show, you got to come a couple days. And I know money's always an issue, whatever, but, you know, honestly, there's enough to do at San Diego that you don't need. I mean, you can go to San Diego Comic-Con and spend almost no money and have a blast. There's so much to see and do and creators to talk to and, you know.
Well, being that I've never been there,
plenty of free sketches at the DC booth. Get some autographs.
Let me talk to my editor over at Latino Review, see if maybe he has something lying around that says pass for Comic-Con.
Yeah, you could do that too. Speaking of which, you know, we know that you've been doing those reviews. I am going to start doing reviews for another website, or I should say, another website is going to start carrying my reviews as well, and that's Sci-Fi for Me. They have a pretty extensive website, much like Latino Review, covering all things geek, movies, TV shows, all kinds of crazy stuff. They're into the sci-fi stuff, they're into the horror stuff, they're into superhero stuff, and they have a pretty extensive website, pretty in-depth as far as the actual comic book movies, geeky TV shows, sci-fi TV shows, sci-fi movies, like all that stuff. Their coverage is pretty comprehensive. But except when you get to the comic book stuff, they have You know, they'll have a review here or there. The one thing they do have every week is they will put out a list of the books that are being released that Wednesday. But as far as like in-depth coverage, it's pretty light. So they have reached out to me to see if I would be interested in kind of supplementing that. So I'll be doing some reviews. I'll probably have my own column there, which won't necessarily be straight up reviews of comics, but more just kind of my thoughts on the comic industry and such. I will also be transcribing a lot of the audio interviews that I do and posting them over there, the audio creator interviews. So hopefully it's a good time. We'll see how it all works out. I'm sure, Manny, you can speak to this. It's just finding the time, you know, working a more than full-time job and having kids, and it makes it tough. It makes it tough.
No, yeah. Well, congrats on that. That's it's great that you're expanding into other websites. That's always
Hey, anything that
can that's help. Always good for us too.
Yeah, exactly. Anything that can help the podcast. But yeah,
so, yeah. So
I'm gonna be bugging you about this Comic-Con thing.
I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, between these two websites and what we're doing, I think passes for shows should be a little bit easier to come by. I mean, not to say that we already get into shows fairly easily, but I think for some of the bigger ones, maybe next year we won't have to pay for WonderCon, and maybe we can even get to some of the other bigger shows.
Yeah, you know, I never did hear back from San Diego Comic-Con, so
yeah,
I will be now I checked in with them when I went to WonderCon, and I'll check in with them again when I go to San Diego just to say hi. But yeah, man, I'm going to be bugging you. Let's stay on top of this. Maybe, I mean, like I said, if you come down, especially if you can get into the show, it's worth it, man. You know, I'll keep you from spending any money. You just have some fun seeing all the
characters. Well, I told my wife that if I got the Jason Fabok, I wasn't going to be bugging too much to get anything else for the rest of the year, because that was going to be my piece of the year. But with as much as I know that goes on in San Diego, I think I'll kind of like my first year at WonderCon, my first ever con, where I just kind of walked around with my eyes glazed over and just like soaking it in. I think that's what this would be.
Yeah. Plus, so, like I said, you know, the free sketches at the DC booth are, you know, it's worth it for that alone. Plus, I'm not going to mention it because I don't want to kind of put it out there for everybody to know in case it doesn't go down. But the super secret thing I told you guys about that may go down at San Diego this year, I mean, come on, dude. If that happens and you're not there, you will never forgive yourself.
Yeah. That's a really good point. So let me see what I can do, and I'll get back to you in the next few days.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds good.
Please do note, this is no ordinary comic book. It is in permanent condition. If you spill soda on it, it drops fly off harmlessly onto lesser comics. Yes, you are quite correct to gasp.
All right, let's dive into DC Rebirth week three. So the first book we're going to talk about is Titans Rebirth number 1, written by Dan Abnett. Art by some of our favorite people, pencils Brett Booth and Norm Ratman on inks, Andrew Dollhouse on colors. Let's start with you, Jaden. What did you think?
I really liked it. It definitely helps that it is Brett Booth and Norm Ratman. But, I mean, I'm a big fan of the Titans, and I like Nightwing, and I like Wally West, and I like Wally's new costume. I definitely enjoy it.
Yeah, Norm has a really cool, like, big print of that new costume. A couple of them, actually, that he had at Phoenix. He had one that's the cover, you know, it's kind of the close-up of Wally's face with the whatever the face in the background, and there's like the spark in his eye or whatever. And then there's another kind of a full body Wally West that Brett did as a pinup. It's been floating around the internet. Maybe you guys have seen it. And I was going to get the full body Wally with the new costume, cause I love the new costume. But I asked Norm, I'm like, hey, are you going to have a black and white, maybe a limited version of this? And he's like, oh, I don't know. What do you think? I'm like, yeah, do it. And he's like, oh, I'll think about it. We'll see. And then I saw him the next day, and I asked him about it again. He goes, oh, I haven't decided. I said, okay, well, feel it out. See if you think there's enough interest. And maybe you'll have a black and white print of it for San Diego. Because, you know, I like seeing the black and white because it just, you can see more of the detail of the pencil and the ink. Because Norm's an incredible inker. And it loses something for me when you put the color on it. So I told Norm that if he decided not to do a black and white, I'd pick up the color one at San Diego. But I definitely want to, because then it would go along with the other black and white limited edition one I have from them. So I like the issue as well. Didn't necessarily notice the layouts, which is kind of strange for me, the panel layout, because usually in a Brett Booth book, the panel layouts are very dynamic, and so they kind of stand out to me. I can't say that was the case this time, but it may have been just kind of the nature of the issue. It was, there wasn't a lot of action. It was kind of it was very much a setup issue, which isn't to say it was necessarily a bad thing, but just the nature of the story and what they were trying to do, they kind of needed to do this kind of an issue. So with what happened in DC Rebirth, the 80-page giant, and then a lot of people have been mentioning Flash Rebirth as kind of DC Rebirth number two, as far as continuing the story from the 80-page giant. And then I think if you... And maybe that's part of the reason that the Flash number one has been so sought after. It's already selling like for $15 on eBay. And then I think you would go to the next step and say that this would be DC Rebirth number three, kind of in a way. But also, you could also think of it as Titans Hunt number nine, because of everything that happened in that series. It's kind of referenced in here in Titans Rebirth number one. So... I definitely would say, if you're really interested in getting the full story, and I could even see if DC, if 3 or 4 years down the line decides to collect kind of the Rebirth series, the Rebirth story together, to kind of tell what exactly happened and how we went from pre-Flashpoint to the New 52 and what was lost and how they fixed it all, I would be very surprised if it didn't start out with Titans Hunt as kind of the prologue leading into Rebirth. So it would go like Titans Hunt, then the DC Rebirth 80-page giant, and then the Flash, and then Titans Rebirth, and then probably continue on. But being that, clearly Wally West is kind of the driving character, maybe the main character, who has kind of kicked off the whole Rebirth story, and this is the book, Titans is the book that he is going to be in and month out, and probably to some extent Flash as well, but more so Titans. If you want to know what's going on, this is going to be the book that you need to be picking up. So I expect Titans to be a big seller in the next few months, which is kind of cool, because I think having more eyes on Brett Booth and Norm Ratman is a good thing. Those guys are both really good guys, and they deserve all the acclaim. So I have just a couple more things to say about Flash, but I'll let you go first talking about Titans Rebirth. Manny, what did you think?
I really liked it. I really enjoyed the fact that through, I guess, shocking them with a little bit of the Speed Force, they're able to remember, kick in some of their memories and remember him. It was nice to see that after a bunch of panels in the Rebirth special where nobody remembered him. It was nice to see that his group of friends in the end ended up remembering him. I thought it was really clever that the Titans... I haven't actually read Titans Hunt, so maybe I'm speaking a little out of line. But I think Diana and some of the other ones were saying that they felt like that something was missing, and that piece that was missing was Wally, and how Rebirth, it kicks off with something's missing, and how it plays with that, both the Titans and as the DC universe as a whole, that something was missing, and it comes full circle with Wally West.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely the case. If you read Titans Hunt, that's what they're everybody's talking about, the tickle in the back of their mind, something's missing, and then at the end of Titans Hunt, yeah, they mention it because the villain in that book says something about 10 Titans, and there's only 9 in the book, and so yeah, it's clear that they're alluding to Wally West, with the hindsight. What I wanted to say about Flash, so I went into a local comics bookstore here, Samurai Comics. There's several different locations for Samurai. I went into one of them this last weekend on Saturday, and I wanted to pick up a Flash Rebirth number one and a Batman Rebirth number one. You know, I have them digitally, but I enjoyed the stories enough that I wanted to get some hard copies. And so I'm there at the store, and they only had, like, and again, I had seen online that the Flash one was blowing up. It was going for over cover price on eBay already. And I've heard the same thing about the Batman one, even though the Batman one we felt didn't bowl us over. But anyway, I wanted to pick up the issues. And so I grabbed one of each. There was only four of the Flash ones left, and I probably had maybe 20 of the Batmans, they probably heavily order Batman because it's Batman. But like I said, they had at least 20 or 25, and it had come out the week before, so it's substantial. But, you know, I'm sure, you know, Flash is not, like, a huge seller. So, as I said, they only had four left, none of the variant covers left. But I was fine with that. And so I grabbed those, I looked around a little bit more, and then I was going to go up and pay, and I decided, you know what? I bet Jaden would like a copy of these, too, because, Jaden gets most of his books digitally. So I'm thinking he's probably didn't pick these up, especially working all the time on Wednesdays and stuff. So I went and grabbed another copy of each one. I go up to the front to pay, and the guy goes, "Oh, on DC Rebirth titles, we're only allowing one per." I'm like, "Why is that?" He's all, "Well, because we don't want people to come in here, buy them, and flip them on eBay." You know, that he goes, you don't need more than one copy, you know. We don't want you to put them up on eBay." And I'm like, I've been collecting comics. The guy doesn't know this, but I've been collecting comics for 35 years. You know, I have over 17,000 books, and in that time, I've sold a handful. You know, less than 0.00001% probably. I rarely have ever sold any of my books. And I said, "Oh, well, the other two copies are from my son." "Oh, well, it doesn't matter. You know, we can only sell you one." And just the way the guy, like, talked to me, he was so condescending and he was so rude about it. I was like, "You know what? Forget it. It's fine. I don't need them." And I start to walk out, and he goes, "Oh, well, see, that's for sure that you're a flipper then, that you're trying to sell them." I look forward to these comics being read by a real fan. That's what he tells me. Oh, I was so mad. I was like, "Really?" I have my own podcast. I spend all this time and money producing my own podcast and going to the shows and interviewing creators because I'm not a real fan. Because I'm a guy who wants to go buy comics and flip them on eBay. Oh, man, I was so furious. So I left. I was like, "Whatever, you know." And you didn't pick up the regular copies, right, Jaden? I was right to try to get you copies of them.
Yeah, totally. I didn't get them.
Yeah, So anyway, I left. I went and got in my car, and I put a review up on their Facebook page. I was like, "Here's what happened." And the owner, like, he responds to my review, and he says, "You know, you have to kind of, you know, I'm sorry you had this experience, but you have to kind of take it from our perspective. We've had people coming in with every excuse under the sun, trying to buy big stacks of them to flip them on eBay and blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "You know, it wasn't even that, you know, you can't buy more than one copy or whatever." I said, "You know what?" Because I had said in my original review, I said, "It should be posted that you can only buy one."
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. It should be posted. I feel that it should be posted. But if that's how it is, and it's same for everybody, then that's fine. I mean, he is right. There's probably no other comic book store in the greater Phoenix area other than Samurai Comics that still had Flashes, and it was because they were, you know, limiting it. And, you know, and he's like, "You know, it's the challenge of being a retailer. You know, we could have made a lot of money by pulling them off the racks for a week and then putting them up for a higher price or blah, 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 whatever, you know." And that's all totally true, too. And he mentioned at Phoenix Comic Con they had people coming up to the Samurai Comics booth, other retailers wanting to buy big stacks of their DC Rebirth 80-page giant because they were selling at cover price, so they could take it over their booths and, you know, put it up for 7 or 8 or 10 bucks or whatever. And so, I commend them for that. But I was like, my point is, it's not that I couldn't buy more than one copy. It's how rude and he made these assumptions. You know, that was what I had a problem with. You know, I understand totally, you know, the other thing. But, yeah, it's just, yeah, that guy just made me so mad. I did go back the next day and made sure that guy wasn't there, and I did get a copy of Batman Rebirth. I was only able to get one, but the Flashes were all gone by that time. Like I said, there was only four left. But anyway, I had a long talk on Facebook, talking back and forth with the owner, Mike, and he's going to come on the show at some point just talk about some of the challenges of being a retailer. So, I mean, it's kind of a good problem to have, being that this DC Rebirth is so popular. I think the quality of it is surprising some people, and so it's getting word of mouth going. So it's beyond just, you know, the usual, like, number one. And plus the other thing is, like, people, you know, retailers have been burned before with all the number ones that have been coming out, especially, like, the Marvel number ones. And, you know, Marvel would put out, like, the Marvel number ones that came out after Civil War or Secret War. They were selling at the same level as the series that ended before, you know. Like, Silver Surfer, whatever the last issue of Silver Surfer was before Secret Wars. And then after Secret Wars, they come out with another number one. And it's that number one sells the same as the previous issue of Silver Surfer. You know, there's no... And so I'm sure when they... So a lot of the number ones, these DC Rebirth number ones that they ordered it, we'll bump it up a little, but not a lot. You know, and now that the quality of Rebirth with Geoff Johns being involved or whatever, and people are excited about it, and it's selling like gangbusters... And this is what we have. We have the speculators jumping in, trying to make a quick buck, and makes it hard for real fans, you know? So I can understand where they're coming from, but number one, I think it should be posted, and number two, they shouldn't be making wild assumptions, you know? Like, if I was an eBay flipper, wouldn't I have been... I mean, like I said, there was a huge stack of Batmans. Wouldn't I have been trying to buy more than just two? You know what I mean? And Aspen was in, with me, I could have been like, well, these are there for her. But whatever. It left a really bad taste in my mouth. Anyway,
let's... Yeah, well...
Go ahead.
In Fresno at Heroes, Dave does have it posted one per customer for new items. New books of the week, you can only take up to one. And then if they have a special variant, you could take that too. But I've actually heard him argue with a couple of people who wanted to take 2, 3, 4 copies of a book, and he tells them, nope, you know, limits one. And there is one straight answer of how to not have that problem. And I completely agree with him, because when I know something's going to be good, I pre-order my books 2 or 3 copies. So, if you want to get more than one book, if you want to guarantee your books, pre-order your books.
Yeah, it's totally true. It's totally true. You know, and if I didn't do most of my stuff digitally, then I would have been fine. But, you know, I'm running out of room here so quickly. And so that's on me.
Yeah, I went to 4 boxes, and now I'm going to have to go to 5. And I'm kind of running out of room myself.
All right, enough of our tangent here. Let's go move on to Batman number one, Rebirth. Oh, well, one more thing on Titans before we move on, actually. Did you guys feel like it was a little light on action and more of a setup than the other Rebirth books we've had so far? I mean, Aquaman was kind of like that, too, with kind of recapping everything. But I felt like this was even... I mean, the whole issue takes place in, like, Dick Grayson's apartment, and there's really not that much action. Did you guys kind of feel that, or?
Yeah, it was more like it was more of a reunion, I thought. And I was cool with that.
But we all still enjoyed it.
It was kind of cool to...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, just a Titans reunion, now that Wally's back. And I really didn't have a problem with it. I don't know, the artwork's really good on it, too, so... I liked looking at all the artwork in that book.
Yeah, that is another thing. You know, like I said, the panel layouts weren't super dynamic or whatever, but it kind of suited what the book was, because it was a lot of, you know, FaceTime and dialogue, and it really shows kind of the strength of Brett Booth. Because I feel like a lot of the strength of his storytelling from panel to panel is in the dynamic action that he does. But this was light on the action, but it still felt like good storytelling, well paced. So, you know, I know there's people that don't like his art, and I honestly just don't understand. I think the guy's art is amazing. Let's move on to Batman number one. Written by Tom King, pencils handled by David Finch, inks by Matt Banning, and colors by the incredible Jordy Belair. Well, Batman's your favorite guy, Manny, so why don't you go first?
I thought it was interesting that they went with the... kind of like a Superman setup for Batman. And what I mean by that is the plane in distress. Usually for Superman, Supergirl, that's the first thing as the first hero test or or quest that he has to go through. I found it kind of funny that the first thing that he's got to figure out is a plane that's gonna land somewhere in the middle of Gotham and cause havoc. So I thought that was kind of funny. Really cool. The Batmobile looked amazing. It had a lot of aspects of the one from the animated series. Really, really long and sleek. I thought that was so cool. And the one far-fetched moment was, does Batman carry like rocket boosters or something in his car or his belt or something that was able to?
Yeah, I kind of took that as
fly that plane.
Must have been in the car. That's kind of how I took it.
At that point I'm like, dude, that's almost as crazy as shark repellent. But you know,
no, actually,
hey, it's Batman. I guess he's
no. Now that I'm actually, I'm actually flipping through the issue right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it, so he's in the car. He flies off the bridge, off the Batmobile, and he's got that. He has that ejector seat.
That has
rockets on the bottom. And there's a panel where it looks like he's removing the rockets from the bottom of the ejector seat.
You know what? I missed that. So all right,
I totally missed it too.
It's forgiven now.
I totally missed it too. But yeah, still, you're still gonna have to suspend your disbelief because you know how much rocket fuel could those little pods really? You know what I mean?
No, yeah, and then just as every Batman story would come to tell you, just as he's going to meet his demise, something saves him.
Yeah, you know,
whether it's Robin, whether it's Alfred.
Usually it's something, usually it's himself. You know, he outthinks whatever the situation is. This time, you know, he's kind of, you know, I don't want to spoil it completely, but he's kind of rescued by something he has no control over whatsoever. And considering that it's his book, for him to be rescued in the way that he is from his, like, certain death, I don't know, you feel like that weakens him as a character at all?
But
Jaden, were you gonna say something?
Oh yeah, I totally don't think so. I think it just shows that he was willing to die for the people in the city, even just to save just that one 747.
Yeah, that, I mean, this... You know, when he puts the rockets on the wings or whatever, and he gets up and he's kind of steering them, whatever. It reminded me, I don't know if either of you guys have ever seen the 1984 cinematic bomb Dune, starring Kyle MacLachlan. It's kind of it's one of those so bad it's good movies. One of my favorites. I watch it all the time. But there's this scene where he rides a sandworm, this big giant sandworm, and he's like looks like, you know, he's literally the size of a little speck on top of it comparatively. And he's holding these two big, like, ropes that are hooked onto the sandworm. And that's kind of what it reminded me of. And as he was going through and putting the rockets on the wings and everything, and I was like, oh, he's going to be, like, standing on top of this plane, like, flying it. It's so, like, crazy and far-fetched and at the same time so, like, comic booky goodness. Yeah, I really dug it. And I didn't necessarily feel like it
was... And you know...
weakened him as a character to have him rescued at the end. But, you know, I knew these two characters were going to be showing up. I mean, they're on the front cover. And so it's kind of obvious to me a little bit that he was going to be rescued by them at the last minute. But it still was kind of like a oh crap moment, you know, when he's about to hit the water and they you know, he's saved. And I had speculated before that maybe these two were, what is it, Silk Spectre and Night Owl? You know, being that they're bringing the whole, but they seem much more powerful than those two characters. So I'm thinking that they are not those characters. I can definitely see what people were saying also about how Tom King's first issue is a big chase. I mean, it's not like the traditional thing you would think as a chase. I mean, he chases down a plane and gets on it and flies it from the top, from outside the plane, which is just crazy. But yeah, really, really super enjoyable issue. Yeah, man, I'm totally in on With the Scott Snyder Batman, you know, I would check in from time to time. I thought it was good. But I don't know, for whatever reason, it didn't hold my interest, like, long term. Like, I thought the Court of Owls storyline was good. I thought Death of the Family was just okay. It didn't really grab me, probably because I'm not a fan of the Joker. And then Zero Year, for me, it dragged a little bit. It didn't hold my interest, and I ended up dropping it. And then Endgame, I kind of came in late, and then with the Jim Gordon thing, that was actually interesting enough to me that I'd read that whole thing. But as much as I like Scott Snyder as a writer and this Tom King, this first issue has me hooked on Batman. Like, I can't wait to read the next issue more so than I ever was for the Scott Snyder Batman. So yeah, I'm totally in. So what were you gonna say, Manny?
The only thing I was gonna say was a scene like that only works with Batman. I don't think it works with any other superhero besides Superman. That doesn't count.
I agree.
It's just so over the top that it's only believable because you're like, well, it's Batman. I guess he can steer a plane.
Yeah, totally.
From the top using boosters from an ejector seat. but yeah, I agree. I am in. Also with the series by Tom King, I like that they started off kind of like with the chase scene. That was great. And putting the two characters kind of as a cliffhanger, that worked as well, because now I'm waiting for the next one. But great thing, though, we only got to wait 2 weeks.
What did you think, Jaden?
I liked it overall. I definitely think didn't like Finch's pencils as much without Richard Friend's inks over it, honestly. But overall, the story wasn't bad. I'm not as hooked as you are, but I'm interested to see what happens.
Yeah, did you feel like Finch's pencils weren't quite as clean?
Yeah, that's exact. I felt like it was kind of muddy.
Why don't you go first with Green Arrow Rebirth, Jaden?
I thought it was all right. I enjoyed it. I'm not a huge fan of the goatee version of Green Arrow, and I'm not a really big fan of Black Canary, but taking that with a grain of salt, I still thought it was enjoyable. I thought it was interesting that Oliver's, like, paying off a bunch of people.
Yeah, I should mention, written by Ben Percy, with art by Otto Schmidt, so probably no inks. It's probably, him doing the rendering digitally and then, coloring it himself, so. We didn't cover it on the show, but did you read Green Arrow Rebirth?
I did not read Green Arrow Rebirth.
I think you probably would have got a little more out of this had you read Green Arrow Rebirth. You read Green Arrow Rebirth, right, Manny?
Actually, no, I haven't read neither of them. I have not got to them yet.
Yeah, because I think you get a lot more out of it. I mean, because this is basically just a straight continuation from when him and Black Canary meet and kind of team up. And so this continues that story 100%. So, I really enjoyed the art. I thought the art was done well. It definitely suits the book. The Green Arrow Rebirth book was getting, like, a lot of buzz. Like, a lot of people were talking about it. Like, they were saying it was the best one that came out. And you know, I think we mentioned on the show, we didn't talk about the issue specifically, but we mentioned on the show how it had sold, like, 90,000 copies or something ridiculous. It was way more than any, Green Arrow book has sold in years. And not exactly sure why that was. And being that this kind of continues in the same vein, telling the same story, same characters, really, really cool. What happens at the end of the book, because I agree with you, Jaden, I'm not a big fan of the goatee, but being that they're trying to bring in legacy, and, Manny was there in Anaheim with me when Geoff Johns said, or L.A., actually, when Geoff Johns says, all the best Green Arrow stories seem to be when he has the goatee, but what they do to Green Arrow at the end of this issue to kind of set up a new status quo going forward, I was just like, holy crap, man. He really gets screwed over. I don't know if he's going to be paying off anybody going forward. So
yeah,
yeah, it was enough of a hook that I'll definitely be checking in to see what's going on with Green Arrow. Do you feel, Jaden, at all that it has kind of the same tone as the TV show?
I don't really think so. It feels a lot lighter hearted to me.
This, with what happened to him at the end, feels more lighthearted than the TV show?
I mean, even with that, it's still just like, maybe it's just the way that it's drawn, but I don't know, I still feel like it's more, like, less serious, because it's more of like a joking Green Arrow.
Yeah, maybe not so, though, after this issue. The issue doesn't go on, I was going to say I haven't heard any sales numbers, but issue actually doesn't go on sale till tomorrow, so I guess we'll see if how many of those 90,000 tune in for the continued adventures. But I thought it was well done, you know. I've been a fan of Green Arrow in the past at different times, so I'm not sure if this is one I'm going to be in on long term, but I'm definitely in for issue 2. All right, next book we're going to talk about is Green Lanterns number 1, written by Sam Humphries, pencils by Robson Rocha, inks by Jay Lystein, and colors by Blonde. So this is basically the two Green Lanterns of Earth. And I guess that doesn't really narrow it down, right? Okay, the two Green Lanterns that are still based on Earth. Hal Jordan makes an appearance to Jessica Cruz and Simon Boz and basically tells them, yeah, I know you're the rookies. Your rings have chosen you for a reason. I have to go deal with this whole Sinestro thing, so you two need to learn to work together. And, you know, the fact that you're here and you're chosen and you're on Earth, there must be a reason for that. So do a good job, work together. That's basically what he says. So,
and then he's out.
So, again, kind of an issue that's a lot of setup. I thought the art was well done by Robson Rocha. And, yeah, I mean, it kind of follows in the same vein as the Rebirth issue. They're trying to work together. There's kind of a mystery involved. They both doubt themselves. They don't trust each other. I mean, you don't trust yourself to necessarily make the right choices because you know you haven't been doing it that long. Then it certainly makes it hard to trust someone else who doesn't even trust themselves. So, and also, the people that see them as Green Lanterns but know that they're rookies and don't necessarily trust them either. So I'm definitely getting that feeling that Sam Humphries wanted to convey that he talked about in L.A. as far as Lethal Weapon with alien technology. But alien technology in the hands of rookies and everyone knows they're rookies, and so it's hard for people to trust them. And of course, we see the appearance of who's going to be the big bad in the series to start, and that's the Red Lanterns. And plus, we see a new Green Lantern power, Emerald Sight, that we've never seen before, which is interesting. So it's a good setup issue again. Whether or not I keep, I'm probably in for like the first two or three issues of all the Rebirth titles just to kind of see what sticks and where things are going. It certainly isn't my favorite. It's probably the weakest of the number one issues that came out, I feel. Not that it was terrible. I thought the art was probably the strongest thing of the whole book. I thought the art was amazing. But I just don't know that I'm interested enough in the characters of Simon Boz and Jessica Cruz. I'm slightly more interested in Jessica than Simon. Simon just, to me, he's not very likable, and I just don't care for the character at all. So, I don't know. This is probably one that's definitely on the bubble for me. Did you get a chance to read this one, Manny?
Yeah, I read this one. I think this is the first one I read. I'm very, very interested in the development of Jessica Cruz as a Green Lantern. And I also like Atrocious as a villain.
Yeah, Atrocitus, yeah.
So, Atrocitus, sorry. And also, I don't know, I didn't see it on the show notes, but maybe we could talk about Injustice 2, now that I remember. I don't know if you guys saw the trailer and some of the new
I haven't.
Characters.
We can talk about that after the Spider-Man for sure.
Okay, anyway, back to the topic at hand. I thought it was a pretty good setup issue. I like the fact that they don't work really well together, but when shit really hits the fan, you can tell that they kind of put all their differences aside and come together as they should. So I like that, but I'm just more interested in them kind of developing a relationship as partners. And I like the fact that they're kind of on their own with the smoking gun to figure out how to use it. And their first task is the Red Lanterns. And so to really not only prove to themselves, but to the government agencies that don't believe in them because who are these rookies? Anyway, so I'm in for a while. And as long as it keeps going the way it is, develops well, I'll continue to read it.
What do you think, Jaden?
I liked it overall. Like you, though, I am not a very big fan of Simon Boz. But Jessica Cruz is interesting to me. And I'm kind of excited to learn a little bit more about Simon Boz because he's more of... I don't really know much about him. Maybe that's why I don't really like him that much. But it's interesting, definitely.
What did you guys think of the art?
I liked it.
I thought it was great. I really liked the way that they depicted the characters.
It's very interesting that... you know, Simon Boz and Jessica Cruz are both characters that Geoff Johns has created. We all seem to resonate with Jessica and like her and want to know, especially you, Manny. I mean, she's on your new cell phone cover. But I don't know that I could pinpoint what it is about her that I like so much.
I'm not sure. I think for me, it's just how she started out so vulnerable. And she was kind of... She wasn't... From the beginning, she was been picked for two different reasons. First was for her weaknesses in the fact of how scared she was of the world. And then, once she escaped that, death took, Volstoom, then she was picked by a green, lantern ring for her willpower to defeat fear. I think it's maybe that the way she overcomes her own issues, not even necessarily with others' help. I know that Cyborg was there with her and kind of helped her out, but at the end of the day, she's the one willing herself on. And I think that's why I root for her. Not only that, but she's also Hispanic, so I think that's pretty cool.
The real reason. All right, let's move on to the next book and the last book of the number ones we're going to talk about this episode. That's Superman number one Rebirth, written by Peter J. Tomasi with an assist by Patrick Gleason. Gleason also handles the pencils. Mick Gray is on inks and John Kalish handling the colors. Manny, why don't you go first?
Not where I expect this book to go. I thought for whatever reason, I thought we were going to go back to what we saw in Action Comics, which obviously is wrong, but it was quite a surprise to see it being focused a little bit more on Jonathan, and I liked it. I felt it was a little bit more of a setup issue, especially with him being kind of caught up using his powers, and I am very interested to see him grow. He definitely stole the spotlight for me, and I think he was meant to. Maybe to set up the series with Damian in the future. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I liked it because it's a different side of Superman, and obviously this is not the Superman. And it almost made the rest of talking about. I felt that it made talking about the dead Superman and even the kind of out of place. I thought it was. Seeing Jonathan's side of things when he's looking out the window and Superman's meeting with Wonder Woman and Batman, kind of like a day in the life of the son of Superman. You know, your dad's Superman, so he said it himself, you know, you don't have to worry about it, because I don't have to worry about it because my dad's Superman. I thought that was a great line. And then he looks out his window, he's meeting with Wonder Woman and with Batman, like I already said, and he so he's trying to, he's living this this quote unquote normal life, which to everyone else it would seem insane. So I guess that's what I really enjoyed about the issue, seeing things in Jonathan's perspective.
What about you, Jaden?
I enjoyed it. I really liked the art. It was very old fashioned Superman. I think I liked how bright his symbol was. Especially when he said that somebody needs to don the colors.
Yeah.
And I mean, the story's all right. It didn't seem like much actually happened, but I like that. I'm curious to see how he's going to interact with the Justice League on this, like with this Justice League.
You know, this ended up being, and this was not at all what I expected. This ended up being my favorite of the number ones. You know, I talked to Dan Jurgens at Phoenix Comic Con. He talked about how the continuity of the Superman books, they'll all fit together eventually. But it may be that, like, he specifically said, like, maybe his first arc in Action Comics will come before the arc that happens here. So, you know, they're not going to tie in together the way, like, maybe the Superman books back in the Triangle era did. So, you know, there's that to consider. But just taking this book for what it is on its own, man, I loved it. Like you said, Manny, like, focusing on John, not being able to control his powers, and what happens with the beloved family pet, it was just, like, you know, gut-wrenching, man. It's like, oh, that poor kid. And being a father myself, you know, I can kind of relate to Clark wanting to keep his family safe, and, you know, kind of got snippets of the conversation he had with Wonder Woman and Batman about how, yeah, he wants to help, but he's been in hiding all this time for exactly the reason of wanting to keep his family safe, and now he's willing to be more in the open, but it's got to be on his terms because he's not willing to compromise the safety of his wife and son. And so, yeah, it's really cool. I mean, and we know going forward there's going to be a Super Sons book, so clearly, I don't know if it's going to be John Kent sneaking around behind. I mean, I don't know how you sneak around behind Superman's back. But is that what it's going to be, or is he going to get Superman's blessing? But, I was really enjoying it. I thought it was extremely well done, well written, great characterization, great dialogue, some really impactful emotional moments. I was really digging the book, and then we got to the toward the end, and we see John spying on his dad and Superman and Batman, or Wonder Woman and Batman, I should say. And then, you know, you're like, okay, what's going to happen? He's going to come in and scold him, or this or that, or what's he going to do? And then to have Superman come in, and I mean, you can kind of see in the way he's holding himself and kind of the look on his face and everything that he's made a decision. He's made an impactful, important decision. And things in his little family of him, Lois, and John are going to change going forward. We don't know exactly what that is. You know, I kind of have an idea that he's going to, you know, give his son his blessing to start developing his powers and being more open with them and helping people. But it just, I mean, I'm in. Like, as much as Tom King's Batman number one hooked me and I want to see what happens next, Superman number two is the first book I'm going to read as soon as I can read it. Because I really want to know what happens next. And I'm sure part of it is just that Superman is, like, my favorite character. And he's been around for so long. You know, we've talked about this before. He's been around for so long. And you know, he's so powerful. It makes it hard to make him interesting. You know, he can become boring because how do you really challenge him? And it seems like a lot of the ways for him to be challenged have been done before. Oh, he's depowered. Oh, he's... You know, it's magic, whatever, and there's how many different, you know, stories and retreads can he tell? But this is, you know, being that he has a son, and this is the main DC continuity now, and he has a son, it definitely gives him, you know, another point of vulnerability. And so how does he handle that going forward? And then it's almost like being able to have your Superman and Superboy stories at the same time. And so interaction of father and son... will be very interesting for me going forward. So yeah, this was my favorite one. I really, really loved it. I can't wait to see where it goes next. And I agree with you, Jaden. Like, Patrick Gleason's art was well suited. Little bit of a cartoony feel, right? Like, not super.
Yeah, definitely.
Not a super, I guess, like DC House style. Not like a Jim Lee style, where it's more, you know, a little more realistic, a little more dynamic. This is more of like a throwback, like you said. So, yeah, really liked it. So, like I said, as you're listening to this, these books are out today, Wednesday, June 15th. So, if any of those sound interesting, get out there to your comic shop quickly, because, like I mentioned, DC Rebirth is blowing up all over the place, and the books are becoming hard to find. So, get out there to your comic shop as soon as you can and pick them up. All right, the next thing we're going to talk about, there's a new Spider-Man game announced. Take it away, Jaden.
At E3, they announced this new Spider-Man game, and it's going to be made by Insomniac Games, who, if you don't know, made Ratchet & Clank, and they made the Spyro series and Resistance most recently. And it looks really cool, actually. I saw the preview for it, and I thought it would be... It's like, finally, we're going to get a good Spider-Man game.
Did they show, like, actual footage of gameplay, or was it just, like, a trailer?
It looked like it was going in between like CGI trailer and game footage, but it seemed pretty seamless. Like it was going in between CGI and the actual gameplay pretty well.
Did you see the footage, Benny?
No, actually, I was pretty busy today. I did not get a chance to see the footage for that. I wanted to because I've actually heard a couple of people talking about it, and. I'm very curious to watch it. I'll probably watch it as soon as we're done here.
Now, there's never really been a big Spider-Man game that's blown up the way like Batman Arkham Asylum series has, right?
No, not really. The Amazing Spider-Man games got a little bit of, like, a few people liked those, but they had more of a cult following, not really a mass market following.
Cool. Well, Manny, you wanted to talk about the Injustice 2?
Yeah, on Saturday they released some a trailer and some, and then the next day I think, or maybe the same day, they released some footage, gameplay footage, and it looks like the new one of the new things they're going to do in Injustice 2 is you're going to be able to earn, I guess, armor for your characters. So the more you play with characters, you earn points and you're able to equip your heroes or villains. I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, they introduced that in the Injustice mobile game. They've introduced that, so it sounds like.
Did they really?
Yeah, it sounds like it's something that they're bringing over to the console game for Injustice 2. Because yeah, they've had that.
Well,
they've had that for a while, maybe. Well, the first time it came out was this year, so I think like January or something.
I was playing it late last year, that's why.
Yeah. I mean, I don't play it anymore. I played it, you know, for a few months, but it's just, again, it's just a time thing. I'd love to keep up with it, but it's just it's a time thing. I just don't have the time to devote to it to be, you know, get really good and have my characters be really awesome. And so if I don't have the time to do it right, I'm not going to do it at all, because when I go to play online, you know, multiplayer, I get my butt kicked because I don't have, like, the really good armors and stuff. So, that's cool, though, that they're bringing that over into the regular game.
No, yeah. And then some of the new characters that they had were, Atrocitus, the one we talked about before briefly. Supergirl. Short hair Supergirl. Also, Gorilla Grodd. They showed him off a bit. And then Black Manta. Obviously, there's going to be a lot more, but those were the ones that were featured. And then, obviously, they had Superman, Batman featured, and Aquaman. But looks like it's going to be pretty good. I just wonder how, if they're going to continue the Injustice storyline, the same one that they've been, that the comic book has followed, or, I'm actually more interested about the story than actual fighting.
Yeah, because the Injustice is actually coming to an end, the digital first comic series that's being written by Brian Buccioletto, that's coming to an end. So yeah, that's an interesting point. And it's also interesting that, like, a lot of those characters you're talking about that they're introducing, again, they've been in the mobile game for a while, so sounds like they're porting some of that stuff over as well.
Oh, the mobile game, you know, they added all kinds of characters to it. I remember getting Darkseid was pretty cool. And then they had all kinds of different Batmans, Green Lanterns.
They had a yellow, et cetera. They had a yellow lantern, Hal Jordan, that was like the most powerful character in the game for a while. He was so powerful they had to nerf him because he was too good. He basically you could use his specials like right off the bat, and it used health instead of having to build up the special power. And so they had it set, and they didn't have like the like all the modifiers for the specials working right. So like his special two, you could use his special two twice, and it would like kill anybody in the game. And so basically, you'd bring him in, and you would just like special two, special two, special two, and you would like, I don't know, he wasn't a yellow lantern, it was a red lantern, that's what it was. It was a red lantern, Hal Jordan. And his special two, he would do like, he's a red lantern, so he'd do the vomit of the red lantern blood, and it would be a DOT, damage over time, and it would like, you could basically wipe out the whole, another team, like all three characters with just your Hal Jordan red lantern, by using your special three times.
Oh man!
So you could go. I'm sure the videos are still up on YouTube, but there's people that would beat other teams in like less than 10 seconds.
Wow!
It was really, and so they nerfed it. So it was really crazy. Did you see the footage for Injustice 2, Jade?
I saw a little teaser, and it looks cool. It was cool if they didn't have like Batman and Superman clashing. I noticed that it was Batman. It was Superman and Flash. I'm guessing they want to kind of distance or separate themselves from Batman v Superman.
Oh, that's a good point.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Just a couple bits of TV news. So Walking Dead producers have said that Season 7 kind of is going to be opening up whole new worlds in The Walking Dead going forward. You guys have any thoughts on this, Jaden?
I'm interested in it. It sounds like they're going to go kind of separate storylines like they did last season, I think, not like this previous season, fifth season, which is cool. I like the solo storylines. It progresses the characters forward more, I think. Adds more diversity to the show.
What about you, Manny? Any thoughts?
I love when they focus on characters, but I think what's really kept me interested in Walking Dead is the group aspect, the core group. So although it would be cool to get a little bit more in depth with some characters, I also wouldn't want to lose the kind of the core group. I always find those episodes better when they're together. But for now, I just want to know who died.
Yeah, very true.
All right, and then one other bit of TV news. Kevin Smith has come out in an interview with IGN and said he wants to direct some episodes of Daredevil and The Defenders on Netflix.
This isn't really news to me personally. I'm not a huge Kevin Smith fan. He directed a few episodes of Flash, I believe, and they were all right. But I think Flash is a lot different of a show than Daredevil and The Defenders, so I'm not sure. I think I want him to prove himself before he goes and takes over or tries out one of these more serious shows.
All right, Manny, you have any thoughts on it?
I like the episodes that Kevin Smith did on Arrow, on Flash, but I do agree 100% with Jaden. Daredevil is an entire different monster, and although, you know, he is a director and he's in movies and whatnot, I'm not sure how well he would do with doing Daredevil. I'm not saying like Flash writes itself, but I think it's a lot easier than than taking on Matt Murdock and the type of storylines that we've seen in that show.
Well, you guys know that he he did a very critically acclaimed run on Daredevil when Daredevil was over at the Marvel Knights imprint.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, so some people refer to it as one of the best Daredevil stories of all time. So I mean, I've never read it personally, but I mean, it's beloved, and I wouldn't necessarily be worried about him having a good take on the character, but like you're saying, Manny, Daredevil's a totally different animal than Flash. Much darker, much more grim and gritty, I guess you'd say. And so, I don't know. For me, Kevin Smith, most of his movies tend to be comedies, a little more lighthearted. So I don't know that, you know, that if he did an issue that it would be in the same tone that the rest of the Daredevil episodes have been. That's just the one thing I would worry about.
The Avengers. That's what we call ourselves. Earth's Mightiest Heroes type thing. Let's do a head count here. Your brother, the demigod, a super soldier, a living legend who kind of lives up to the legend, a man with breathtaking anger management issues, a couple of master assassins, and you've managed to piss off every single one of them.
All right, movie news. So the rumor is that we're going to see Hulk versus Banner in Thor Ragnarok. We know Hulk's going to be in the movie already. I think it was Mark Ruffalo was coming out and saying that Hulk and Banner are kind of on a collision course. I don't know if that means they're going to come face to face, if it's going to be some kind of dream sequence or what. But, we've seen this Hulk versus Banner thing in the comics for many years now. So it looks like that part of the Hulk mythos is going to come to the big screen. You have any thoughts, Jaden?
Well, what I've been hearing, the rumors have sounded like it's going to be a Planet Hulk movie. So maybe he's just kind of messing with people and not actually going to fight himself as Hulk, but actually just fight like another Hulk on Planet Hulk.
No, I think it's going to be Hulk versus Banner. Maybe because of Planet Hulk, maybe with Hulk wanting to, take over and do some of the Planet Hulk type things and Banner fighting against it. But I mean, I don't know. You could be right. Or maybe they'll be separated. You have any thoughts?
Yeah, maybe.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Manny?
No, I'm just going to wait and see. I like Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner, not as much as I liked Ed Norton. But, like I said, it's going to be just a wait and see. They haven't done the greatest job with the Hulk overall. So, it'd be cool to see something like that, like having to do with Planet Hulk. But I don't know. Not much to say there, I guess.
All right. There was a video that came out earlier this week, or maybe it was Friday of last week. Jeff Goldblum and David Levinson together in the video for Independence Day Resurgence. So David Levinson is the character that Jeff Goldblum plays in Independence Day. And there was this big rumor, conspiracy thing going around that Jeff Goldblum and David Levinson were one and the same. And so in order to debunk those rumors, they appear in a video together to show they're two separate people. Independence Day is one of those classic popcorn blockbuster summer movies. And Jeff Goldblum, I love Jeff Goldblum. He's one of my favorite actors. And this is probably one of my favorite characters he's ever played. And this video was just a lot of fun. And I'm really excited to see Independence Day. It looks like totally mindless popcorn movie, summer blockbuster, much in the vein of the first one where you can just go, sit down, eat some candy, drink some soda, eat some popcorn, and just enjoy yourself in a nice, cool, air-conditioned movie theater during the summer, which sounds really good because it's going to be 120 here this weekend. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing Independence Day Resurgence. Did you see this video, Jaden?
I didn't get a chance to check out the video, but I'm looking forward to the movie. It's like you said, it reminds me a lot of like the Pacific Rim type movie. Like it's not really, it might not be the greatest story, it might not be the greatest acting, but it's just kind of mindless fun, like you said, with good action.
What about you, Manny?
No, I haven't got a chance to check it out. I do want to watch it, though. Jeff Goldblum's awesome. And we did actually just watch Independence Day yesterday, for whatever reason. And, yeah, this is one that, here in particular in Madeira, because we have a drive-in, I think that's the one, that's one we're going to go watch at the drive-in. Because it's classic blockbuster movie. They don't really make those anymore, per se. Your blockbusters nowadays are mostly the superhero movies overall. Actually, if not all superhero movies. So it's nice to get something else, something a little bit different. All I want to say, it's a complete shame that they couldn't get Will Smith back on there, because that would have kind of put the cherry on top. But Jeff Goldblum, that's probably good enough. And then also, I forgot the name of the actor who plays the president. He's back on there.
Bill Pullman.
And
Bill thank Pullman.
You. So yeah, I mean, good classic American movie time. So definitely looking forward to it.
All right, cool. So I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Once again, I'd like to thank everyone for joining us. Please visit us at thecomicsourceblog.com for past episodes of the podcast. You can also watch episodes of our YouTube channel there, as well as find Manny's written blog, my written blog, and of course our sketch gallery. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Also do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to keep up to date on new episodes and convention coverage. The Comic Source continues to grow. We appreciate everyone's support. If you follow us on iTunes or download our episodes on iTunes, 5-star reviews there are like the most helpful thing you can possibly do. Also, like I said, I'm going to be contributing very soon to Sci-Fi for Me, so look for that. Manny continues to write for the Latino Review, so make sure you keep your eyes peeled for that as well. Really, the best thing to do is just follow us on Twitter. And all the information for everything Comic Source is tweeted out on a daily basis. So thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.